Over the next 6 weeks or so in our Sunday morning sermons, we're going to be thinking together about the subject of prayer. And in particular, we're going to be looking together at the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is the Lord. He is our Savior and our Lord. And he is the one who teaches his disciples to pray. You can find the Lord's Prayer, as you've already heard, in the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It's part of Jesus' teaching in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And later in the year, we'll be looking at more of that teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But just now, it's the Lord's Prayer that we find in Matthew chapter 6 that we're going to focus on. And we're going to do so not only because we're followers of Jesus and he teaches his followers about prayer. And we're going to do so not only because this is the beginning of a new year, and I would hope that we would all make a New Year's resolution to be more faithful in prayer in 2013 than we ever were in 2012. What would God do in the life of our church if every single one of us left here today making that resolution, even if half of us kept it? It would change the nature of the life of our church together. So we're going to look at the prayer, not only because Jesus teaches it because it's the new year, but we're also going to look at this prayer because it's part of our Presbyterian heritage. In every congregation I have served, I've preached on the Lord's Prayer. If you look at our constitution as a Presbyterian church, and some of you may or may not know we have a constitution, there's part of our constitution called the Book of Confessions. It's filled with theological statements that go back to the beginning of Christianity. And in the 1500s and the 1600s, there are three statements which take time to analyze the Lord's Prayer. The Heidelberg Catechism is one, the Westminster Shorter Catechism is another, and the Westminster Larger Catechism is the third. And they take time to analyze this prayer. Presbyterians have looked on the Lord's Prayer not only as a prayer to remember, not only as a prayer to pray, but as a model for all prayer that Jesus gives to us, teaching us about the God to whom we pray and the manner, the focal point of the prayers that we're to offer to God. So given the fact that it's part of our heritage, it's a new year, and Jesus teaches on the subject of prayer, this is why we're focusing at the beginning of this new year on the Lord's Prayer. As we do so, in a preliminary way today, I'd like us to think about prayer in general. I'd like us to think about our premises when it comes to prayer, the foundations of prayer, what we fundamentally believe about prayer, and the reason for praying. And I want to do so because I believe that there is a blind spot that many people have when it comes to understanding the nature and the purpose of prayer. If you read books on prayer, teaching about prayer, understanding prayer, I think many books skip this premise. And if you skip this premise, then you miss it. Then you miss it. It's all too easy to become disillusioned with prayer and to give up on prayer and say that prayer doesn't work. An enormous blind spot when it comes to prayer. And I think that some of us here today may have that blind spot. Now, blind spots are not uncommon. That's why we confess our sins every service that we have together. Blind spots are not uncommon. We live at a moment in time, 150 years, almost to the day after the Emancipation Proclamation, and we look back 150 years and say, how is it possible that a whole nation, especially of people, many of whom had an allegiance to Jesus Christ and to God their Creator, how is it possible that we could have enslaved a huge portion of our population and yet claim to be followers of God through Jesus Christ? This enormous blind spot in our civic life together. You say, how is that possible? But what I want to say is this, that 150 years from now, there'll be people looking at us and saying, how did they have such a blind spot? It's the human predicament, the human dilemma, that there will always be blind spots, some of them small, some of them pretty significant in our lives together. And we always have to come before God and say, Lord, open our eyes, keep opening our eyes so that we see more clearly what your plan and your purpose is for us. Well, when it comes to prayer, there is such a blind spot as this, which leads many people to despair in prayer and to give up on it altogether. Millions of people. And I'm going to call this blind spot the Huckleberry Finn blind spot when it comes to prayer. The Huck Finn blind spot when it comes to prayer. That blind spot has to do with this. The understanding that many people have that prayer is essentially, fundamentally, about asking and getting. That prayer is foundationally about asking and getting. That's the blind spot. Let me read you Huck Finn or Mark Twain's view through Huck Finn of prayer. This is how this little passage goes. Miss Watson, she took me in the closet and prayed, but nothing come of it. She told me to pray every day, and whatever I asked for, I would get it. But it weren't so. I tried it. Once I got a fish line, but no hooks. It weren't any good to me without any hooks. I tried for the hooks 3 or 4 times in prayer, but somehow I couldn't make it work. By and by, one day, I asked Miss Watson to try for me, but she said I was a fool. She never told me why, and I couldn't make it out anyway. I sat down one time back in the woods and had a long think about it. I said to myself, if a body can get anything they pray for, why don't Deacon Wynne get back the money he lost on pork? Why can't the widow get back her silver snuff box that was stolen? Why can't Miss Watson fatten up? No, says I to myself, there ain't nothing in it. Prayer. Huck Finn's right. It's not worth it. It's disillusioning. If, in fact, it is first and foremost about asking for something and getting it, and when you don't get it, why bother? Why bother? You ask and ask and ask, and it doesn't work. But perhaps that begs the question. Perhaps that opens the door. Perhaps, just perhaps, Huck has a blind spot that is shared by millions of people about the very essence and the purpose of prayer. That when it comes to the meaning and the purpose of prayer, perhaps it's not, first of all, about asking and getting. Maybe there's something else going on in prayer. Not that prayer doesn't have anything to do with asking and getting, but that when you put it at the center, you get it wrong. It's off to the side, it's important, it's critical, but it's not the center. Think for a moment about our Lord Jesus. You can't accuse Jesus of being faithless. You can't accuse Jesus of being disobedient to God. Jesus is the perfect one. He is the righteous one. And yet, when he prays, we know of at least one occasion when he does not get what he asks for. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the crucifixion, the night before he dies. Lord, take this cup of suffering away from me. Take it away. And does God say yes? No, God doesn't. Jesus goes on and he suffers on that cross. He hangs on that cross. But he doesn't despair about prayer. He doesn't say, this doesn't work. It doesn't add up to anything. There on the cross with his hands stretched out in agony. We see in the Gospels, Jesus still praying, still talking to God. For Jesus, while asking, is important. He asked. It's not at the center of prayer. It's not the rationale for prayer. It's not the foundation of what prayer is about. Not the first thing, not the main thing, and not the most amazing thing. I've seen many amazing answers to prayer, but they shrink in significance compared to the foundation of prayer, the fundamental miracle of prayer, which is that God should hear us, you and me, at all. Now that's the miracle, and that is the foundation, and that is the blind spot, that we are not stunned. I mean absolutely stunned and amazed that when we open our mouths and we say, oh God, that God should actually listen to you and me and want to hear us, and not only want to hear us, but to enter into a conversation with us, and not only enter into a conversation with us, but enter into a relationship with us. This may seem ordinary and shallow, but it's the foundation which, when it's missing, all of prayer no longer makes the sense that it is supposed to make with us. Always, it should stun us and overwhelm us that God should listen to us, and that we should have this incredible expectation that God hears us, whether we get what we want or not. That's secondary. What's first is that there is one who hears us. Now, let me put it like this. Let me tell you a story, and maybe things will become a little clearer as I tell you this story. This past week, I was talking to some of my relatives on the phone, chatting with folks on the phone, and one of my good friends, if you can believe it, is Robert Griffin III. Now, some of you may not know who Robert Griffin III is, which would be amazing that you don't, but just in case you don't, you know, he does play football for a team called the Washington Redskins, playing this afternoon. So I'm making all these phone calls to all my friends, and I call up my friend Robert Griffin III, and he doesn't answer, which you may say is not surprising. But actually, 30 seconds after I called him, he does answer. He picks up the phone, and he apologizes to me. He says, "I'm so sorry that I didn't pick up the phone when you first called." He says, "I was in a meeting." I say, "Who with?" He says, "Coach Shanahan." I was in a meeting with all the guys who were playing football on Sunday, and it was a very important meeting, and the phone went off, and I just checked it, and I said to Coach Shanahan, "Listen, I've got to get out of this meeting just now because a friend of mine has called, and I need to talk to him." So Coach Shanahan says, "Who is it that called?" And RG3 says, "It's my friend David Rennick who called." And Coach Shanahan says, now get this, Coach Shanahan says, "Hey, guys, drop everything for an hour or so. RG3 needs to talk to David Rennick. And though we've got this busy schedule ahead of us and an important game coming up, he needs to talk. David has called, and we're going to back off this training session for an hour or two." So RG3 and I are on the phone for about an hour, and we talk about this, that, or the next thing. And he finally says, "I've got to get back to work." And I say, "Well, thank you for giving me time." And he says, "No problem at all." He says, "You know, it was just wonderful speaking to you today. It just made my day." That's what he says to me. "It just made my day that you called me and I had the opportunity to speak to you." And I say to him, "Listen, you made my day as well by returning my call, by calling back to me." So just imagine that situation. Now, the first surprise would be this: if you thought it was true. And actually, I really should quit the sermon there because you laughed. Shouldn't we laugh at the thought that God hears us when we open our mouths and speak to God? That if it's laughable that RG3, unthinkable, that he should answer my call, how much more so with God? How much more so with God that God should pay attention to us? It's just stunning. And even if it were true, you'd say, how do you make the connection? How do you know him? How did you get his number? The questions would come, but what would not make any sense, if you believed me, would be for you immediately to say, "So what did you get from him? What did you ask of him? What did he deliver on?" If you were to ask me that, I'd say, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't call him to get anything from him, but he's got a lot of money. That's not why I called him. I called him because he's my friend, and we just wanted to talk. And that conversation was significant to my life, and I believe to his life as well. And in that conversation, our relationship grows stronger. And that's an important part of my life, to be linked with another person who I think is significant, and for him to think that I'm significant. That is why we talk with each other, not to ask and get." So you didn't ask anything? Well, actually, we did. So we talked about the game. We talked about this or that or the next thing. We argued about things we disagree with. And then I asked him for something. He asked me for something else. Yes, we did ask, and we got. But that wasn't why I had the conversation. It was about the relationship first. That's what it was about. And part of that, yes, part of that, in every relationship is about asking and getting. And that's how it is with prayer, that we should have this access to God should stun us. But that God wants us to have that access, not first of all to ask for this or that, but to enter into a relationship with God that will last through this life and on through eternity, and nothing in heaven or earth or hell can break. The connection is good from now, forever, till all eternity. In our passage of Scripture in Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus says, "Whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, so that they may be seen by others." I mean, seen by others? Who are you trying to impress when you have a connection with God? And then Jesus goes on, "Whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret." We sort of take this for granted, that God is there. But think of the context in which Jesus was teaching, where people believed that God's presence was in the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus is saying, no, You don't have to go there to that special place. That is not where the hotline goes. The hotline goes into your bedroom. Think of your teenager going into their room, shutting the door and getting on the phone and talking for hours and hours and hours. Jesus says it's as intimate as that. You have that privilege in your room. Now go do it. Use the privilege. And he says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Not with everything you want. What father who loves us will give us everything we want? That would not be love, but everything we need. And what do we need most of all? We need to know that in this life we are not alone, but that there is a significant other who thinks that we are significant and whose life is bound to us and gives us significance now and through all eternity. And prayer is the gift by which that relationship comes into existence and is nurtured and grows. It is the conversation, the amazing conversation that God has offered to us to have, by which he will pick up the phone every time we call and will take time with us, no matter what else is going on. You and I have been invited to pray. Jesus calls us to pray. Maybe pray more in 2013, more faithfully, more regularly, about this, that, or the next thing, anything, than we ever did in 2012. May we be aware of the prayer that Jesus taught us so that it will become a guide for us. May we be aware of our Presbyterian heritage, which has always taken the Lord's Prayer as a teaching tool, a model by which we grow closer to the living God. And if we have that blind spot, which is hung up about asking for things and not getting them, and all of us at times have been disappointed like that, and we don't understand it all. This is true. Maybe we've been enabled to shift so that that becomes a part of prayer, yes, but not the center. And we see, as we've never seen before, this gift that God gives to us by which you and I can know him, and believe that God picks up the phone and hears us when we, with just a little bit of faith, open our mouths and our hearts to God in prayer. And then maybe we add the prayer, "Oh Lord, may the Redskins win." Amen. Let's bow before God in prayer. Lord Most High, thank you for the privilege that you give to us. Thank you for the symbol of this privilege at the table that we come to. For you promise to be at the table as our host, to invite us in, as it were, to your dining room, to share time with you. May we be blessed in this time and in our coming and in your coming to us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.